The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Shlach Lecho. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor. And Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Shlach lecho anoshim yosur es Eretz Kenan. Send people out to scout out, to spy out the Eretz Kenan. This was Eretz Yisrael, Asher ani naisen ibnei Yisrael, which I am going to give to the Bnei Yisrael. Ish echod lemate avesov tishlochu kol nosiv lehem. One man for every tribe. The nosi, the prince of that tribe, should send. And Moshe sent them from the desert of Paran in accordance to the word of Hashem. Kulam Anoshim, and they were all Anoshim, all men, men of stature, Roshi Bnei Yisrael Hema, and they were the heads of the Bnei Yisrael. Elish Meisum, and these are their names, and the Torah itemizes the 12 men that were chosen to spy out the land of Israel. We're speaking here when Klal Yisrael were in the desert, the second year of the going out of Egypt, after they had received the Torah. They remained by Har Sinai for almost a full year. And then from there they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael. There were a few incidents that took place in last week's Parsha. But now they're ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. And it was Reish Chodesh Tammuz. It was the beginning of the month of Tammuz. They went for 40 days, and they came back on Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. This is one of the most tragic episodes that took place in our history, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that really it's not necessary to send in anyone to scout out the land to see if it's good or not. I've already told you that it's good. But nevertheless, they insisted. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right. They went, and they came back with a dibaroh. They came back with a bad report, Loshon Hara. They slanderized the name of Eretz Yisrael, and they undermined the confidence of the people to the point where there was a rebellion. And they came back that the people did not want to go into Eretz Yisrael anymore, but rather they wanted to go back to Egypt. This caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger and wrath to burn, because he said, 10 times you have tested my faith, 10 times you have tested my patience. This was the 10th time. And therefore he decreed that this nation will never enter into Eretz Yisrael, but you will wander in the desert for 40 years, and your children, they will be the ones who will enter the land. And so it was because of this episode that Klal Yisrael ended up to be in the desert, not for 1 year, a little over 1 year as it was planned. It was a very short journey to go in from Har Sinai, but they made a short journey into a journey of 40 years where that generation, with the exception of those that did not participate in this, for example the Bnei Levi or the women or Yeshua or Kolev, that generation never saw Eretz Yisrael, and it was the children that did. So this is one of the most tragic events that we have in our history. And from here also is linked the Churban and Abayis, the destruction of the Bote Migdoshes and the Golos, because of this event. Because as we see later on, the Churban Beis HaMikdosh took place also on Tisha B'Av. Both of the Bais Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdosh, the Bais Sheni, the second Beis HaMikdosh. And it was Nikba, it started with this. Because when they came back and the nation wept, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that you are weeping for no reason, this night shall always be a night of weeping for you. Who were these men that were responsible for initiating this great tragedy? So the Torah tells us, Kulam Anoshim. They were all men. What does it mean, men? So Rashi says, Kol Anoshim should be Mikra Loshin Hashivus. Eise Shok Shedim Hoyu. They weren't just plain people. They were people that were chosen by the prince of every tribe to represent their tribe. And they were Anoshim, they were men of stature. Loshin Hashivus. They were shady. They were kosher people, which means they were righteous, upright people. And they were Roshe B'nai Yisrael Hema, they were the leaders. When the prince chose, he chose from the leadership. Anoshim, Kulam Anoshim, Roshe B'nai Yisrael Hema. And, with the exception of two, this was Lamate Ephraim Hashir bin Nun and Lamate Yehuda Kolev bin Yifuna, they all fell. They became entwined in their own motives or their own fears or their own desires to the point where they came back with a dibaroh, with a slander on Eretz Yisrael, and undermined the confidence of the people and caused the rebellion. So here we see that it's possible for people of great stature to fall. And not only one, but 10. This is a reality. And this is what the Mishnah Novice and Masechet Ovos tells us in Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet. Hillel Eimer. Hillel says, he lists off a few things here, but he says, V'al tamin be'atzmecho ad yemeischo. Do not believe in yourselves. Do not trust yourselves until the day of your death. A person can never relax to the point where he says that I'm all right and I am good and I am righteous and I have the control over my Yetzer Hara, and therefore I don't have to worry. No. Hillel said, Al tamin be'atzmecha ad yemeischo, that do not trust in yourself until the day of your death. Only then will you know who you are. And Rashi brings Sha'arayechan and Kein Godel Shimish Bekunik Deile Shmeinim Shona. There was a man by the name of Yechanan Kein Godel. He served as the high priest for 80 years. And at the end, he became a kafir. He became an unbeliever in the Torah Hashem after serving as a Kein Godel in the Beis Hamikdash for 80 years. Now, I would like this evening to go into this and see what we can learn from it. We can ask a number of questions here in Masechta Ovos. Masechta Ovos in Mishnah Dalet, it brings the statements of Hillel, the teachings of Hillel, in the middle of the teachings of someone else. The actual Mishnah begins with something which the Gamliel, Ben Esher of Yehuda Nosi, had said, and that was, Hu haya emer, he would say, Aseh retzeine ketzeincho, that you shall make his will like your will. In order that your will should become his will. Batel retzeincho mipnei retzeinai, and set aside your will in front of his will, in front of the Almighty's will. Kedei shivatel retzein acherim mipnei retzein necho, in order that he should annul the will of others before you will. So this is, then it brings Hillel Eimer al tifresh min atzibor. Excuse me, al tamin be'atzmecho. So the first question is why is it that these teachings of Hillel's seem to be incorporated with this previous teaching of how we should make the Almighty's will as our own will, and then your will will become His will? That's one question. A second question is, Hillel tells us five things. I mentioned one, but he says five. He says, "Al tifresh min atzibur." A person should not separate himself. He should not divorce himself from the tzibur. The tzibur refers to the community of Klal Yisrael. "Val ta'amin be'atzmecho ad yemeischo." Then he says, "Do not believe in yourself until the day of your death." It's the second thing. Third, "Val todin es chavercho ad shetagia limkeimei." Do not judge your fellow man until you are in his place. If you see your fellow man do something and it's not right, it's not good, don't judge him. Not until you are in similar circumstances, because you might yourself might have acted that way. That's the third thing. The fourth teaching, "Val teima dovishi efshe lishmaya shesefe lishoma." Do not, the morale learns that you should not say that this will never happen. Don't say that such and such a thing will never happen, because sefer lishoma, one day it might happen. Don't say that this person will never be a rich man, he'll always be a poor man, one day he might be a rich man. Don't say that this rich man will never lose his money, he's too wealthy and powerful for that, because one day it might happen that he might lose his money. And so forth. And do not say that when I have time, then I will study Torah. Because then you'll never have time. You might never have time. So Hillel said five things. Al tifresh min atzibur. Do not separate yourself from the community. Al tamin be'atzmach ad yemeischo. Do not believe in yourself until the day of your death. Al todin es chavercho ad shetagia limkeimei. Do not judge your fellow man until you are in similar circumstances, as he is. Al teima dovishi efshelishmaya shesefelishoma. And do not say that this will never happen. Who heard that such and such a thing can happen? Because one day you might hear that it did happen. Al teima lekshef neashne. And don't say that one day I must learn. As soon as I have more time, I will learn. As soon as I finish doing everything that I have to. Shemalei tipone, because you might never finish everything that you have to. These are the five things that Hillel said. So now, a second question we can ask is what are the relationships of all of these five? They seem to be totally unrelated to each other. Then, we have another question. Well, incidentally, on this maimer itself of Al Tamin Be'atzmecho Ad Yemeischo, we can ask a question. He said you should not believe in yourself until the day of your death. Why does he mention the day of your death? Would be better to say Al tamin bi'atzmecho kol yemei chayecho. Do not believe in yourself all the days of your life. Why does he mention here what malei lahasker yemamiso? Why does he have to mention the day of your death? Alright, and then we have another question. And that is that actually when Hillel starts that you shouldn't separate yourself from the tzibur, that's how he starts here. And we said he's incorporated right in the same Mishnah as Gamliel. Actually, Rav Gamliel was also speaking about the tzibur. Rav Gamliel ben Esher B'Yehuda, that's on Mishnah Beis. Rav Gamliel ben Esher B'Yehuda Hanosi Aymer, he said, well, first he said a few teachings, and then he said, taught, "V'chola eski min atzibur, whoever occupies himself for communal work, ye eski mimoam l'shem shemaim, then you should work with the community l'shem shemaim, for the name of heaven, not for your own honor and not for your own wealth or not for your own gain, but for the name of heaven. Sheshus aveso misayoson, because the schus, the merit of their fathers, the fathers of the Tzibur of Yisrael, that's Abram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, all of the forefathers, they will help them. B'tzidkosan emeres lo'ad, and their righteousness will stand forever, and therefore you will be successful, because you'll have the schus of Abram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and the others on your side. V'atem malani aleichem schar kisocha kilo asisem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that even though the reason why you've succeeded is because you've had the great assistance of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, but I will award you as if you have succeeded. So Rav Gamliel also spoke about the Tzibur. So we see it sort of sandwiched in here. What is the meaning of all of this? We'll explain in accordance to the commentary of the Maral on Masecht Ovis. The main major principle that we have to understand is man is subject to constant change. He's subject to constant instability. And there are four reasons why. Four interesting reasons and deep reasons as to why. First of all, is because man is a balgeshem. He's made of physical matter. And it is the nature of something physical not to be constant and not to be consistent, but always subject to change, always changing. So the first reason is because of the nature of man himself, that he is made min ha'adoma chemer. Is made from the earth. This is physical. It is the nature of something which is physical always to be changing, not to be consistent or constant. Secondly, now, something that's physical constantly reflects changes because of various influences upon itself. And therefore, since man goes through periodically different situations and different circumstances, this causes him to change. For example, sometimes a person is in a situation of stress, so he reacts. He reacts accordingly. Another time he might be in a situation of relaxation, so he reacts accordingly. Another time he might be in a situation of simcha, of joy, so he'll react accordingly. Another time it could be in a situation of sadness, so he'll react accordingly. Because of the external situations that man finds himself in, where the external situations change from time to time, that is going to affect changes in man himself. So that's the second reason. This is the third reason, and that is the time element. Even if the external situations would not differ and they would be the same, man still constantly walks through time zones. The world constantly moves. Time ticks away. Mentioned many times that time is the calculation of the movement of the solar system. It's the calculation of the movement of the solar system in ratio to the sun. And that never stops. And therefore it's constantly moving, constantly ticking away. And man is affected by time. For example, he grows older. You take a little baby, and as the days go by, the weeks go by, the months go by, he grows. He becomes a little more mature. You take another person, as the time goes by, he grows into a child, into an adolescent, into a man. older a person is, reaches a later age, and then as the time goes by, he becomes older. And you have this cycle. So time constantly takes its effect on man. And not only in this way, but in other ways also. For example, we know we have what the Gemara calls mazolis. There are mazolis that have influences over men. Or we have, for example, decrees. There are constant decrees. States me Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadesh, he renews decrees for the world. Now these decrees are tied into time. There's a decree for 30 days, a decree for a month, for 6 months, for a year. And we find cycles. These are the cycles. For example, by Yosef, there were 7 good years and 7 years not so good, and so forth. And this all has to do with time. So therefore, this also affects changes on man. That he's constantly walking through a time zone, and time zones are constantly causing changes in the world and in man. So this is a third reason why he's always under change. And then there's a fourth reason. And that is, and actually this could be the most powerful effect on him. And that is, even forgetting about external circumstances, which differ from time to time or place to place, and even forgetting about the time zone, his life is a life which is constantly fluid, in constant flux, because he is always busy. He is always totaled. Constantly. Man is always doing things. And there are always demands on him to do things. So aside from the fact that his external situations might change, even if his external situations are the same, and besides the fact of the cycles of the time zone, he's constantly doing. This is what the Gemara always refers to as totaled. He's constantly busy. What is he busy with? He's busy. Whether he's busy or not, he's always busy. And this causes constant change. In other words, his life is constantly a fluid situation. He's always in a constant flux. So man is always changing because of one of these four reasons, or all of these reasons. Now, in regards to these reasons, this is what Hillel is telling us. First of all, he says, the first reason mentioned, he mentions four reasons, and then he started out by saying, Al tifresh min hatzibor, you should not separate yourself from the nation, from the community, but we'll leave that now. But then he says four reasons. First he says, Al tamin bi'atzmecho ad yemeischo, do not trust in yourself until the day of your death. There he's referring because you are physical, and something which is physical in essence is not constant. And therefore, no matter what you are now, that's no proof that's how you'll be a year from now, or a month from now. Or like over here, this was a journey of only 40 days by in our parsha. So therefore, do not trust in yourself until the day of your death. Now, why did he say until the day of your death? Why did he say kol yimei hayecho? Because he's telling us something here. He's saying why you should trust in yourself. He says after the day of your death, then you can trust in yourself. Because what happens at death? That's when the physical man goes back into earth. But spiritual man goes up to heaven. Why is man in a change situation? Because he's made of physical matter. So this you won't have to worry after Yemeischo. After your death you won't have to worry about this, because that's when the spirit separates from the physical. But as long as the spirit and the physical are together, Oh, then you have to worry about it. That's why he said Adjei Meischa, because he wanted to indicate this to us. This is a situation till death. This is similar to the parable that the Chazal, the sages, give. The sages say as follows. It says, when a boat leaves the harbor for the high seas, you never know what is going to happen to it. You do not know its destiny. When the boat returns from the high seas and comes into the harbor, then you know its destiny. So the same is when a person is born, you never know what he'll be. Because then he is in the harbor leaving for the sea. When he dies, then you know what he is. Because then he has returned. We quoted something like this similar last week in Kehelis, where it said, Tov Shemen Mishen Tov. That oil, excuse me, Tov Shem Tov Mishemen. That a good name is better even than oil, and the oil refers to the deeds. And there Rashi says, because he says, and at the end of the pasuk it says, "V'yem hivolde miyem hamoves." V'yem hamoves miyem hivolde. Because when a person is born, he has no name yet. When he dies, then he has established his name. So, therefore, Hillel says, "Do not trust in yourself until the day of your death, because you're physical." And something that's physical in essence is subject to constant change. Secondly, now he said, Altodines chavercho ad shetagia limkemai. Do not judge your fellow man until you also are in similar circumstances. Now here he's referring to the second aspect of change. Besides from the fact that there's an intrinsic change in man, because he has this physical makeup, there is external pressures on him, because he can find himself in different situations. He can find himself in a situation of stress, in a situation of sadness. He can find himself in a situation of temptation. Therefore, Hillel said, don't judge your fellow man when he does something that you feel he shouldn't have done, until you are in similar circumstances, because you might have reacted the same way. Because circumstances causes change in people. So that was the second point Hillel said. Then the third teaching he said, Al teima dove sheyefsher lishomeya, ki seifel lishoma, she seifel lishoma. Do not say on something that will never happen. It'll always be. This is something very common in people. For example, when people look at a political situation, they look at a political situation like that's how it's always going to be. When they look at an economic situation, they look at an economic situation like that's how it's always going to be. For example, Russia. Russia, people would have told you, would be forever. You would tell someone that Russia will collapse next year. They'll say, how can you speak so foolishly? Russia, never. Don't say never. Don't say who can hear of such a thing. Because you might hear about it. You might wake up one day and read in the newspaper that Russia has collapsed. But this is not only with Russia. This is with all of the powers. Russia is not the first power that collapsed. There were powers far greater than Russia. See, there was the Greek Empire, and there was the Russian Empire, and there was the Babylonian Empire. They were far powerful, more powerful than Russia. And people said, a power like that can never collapse. Collapsed. Today they're talking about the enormous waning of Western power. Just 20 years ago, when I was young and going to school, it was accepted as an axiom that America will be the power of the world forever. There's no such thing. I mean, if you would have said that in school, they would have failed you. They would have failed you. See? The same thing, Yimach Shemom, the Germans, when the Germans rose to power. Or you take Napoleon, or you take, who would have ever believed 10 or 15 years is a matter of minutes when you're speaking of world history, that Japan would be a wealthy nation. Japan or Germany, they were broken nations. There was the Marshall Plan. They had to give handouts to them to keep them from starving. Nobody would have ever believed that Japan would have the wealth that it has today. No one. And so, and this is how it goes. Who would have ever believed that Saddam Hussein would have become such a power? No one would have believed it. And today they're writing that he's building up again. If you study world events, the best way to study world events is not write, but not study what the forecasters tell you. That's a waste of time. A total waste of time. See? It's a total waste of time. See? But rather, take out old newspapers and old magazines. You'll learn more from there. And you'll see where each time the forecasters were totally wrong. Totally wrong. I saw myself just last year. Henry Kissinger was supposed to be probably the number one forecaster of world events that we have today. And this was 36 hours before the Persian Gulf War. They interviewed him on television. They asked him two questions. America gave Iraq a deadline. Either pull out by their deadline or we will attack. This was about 36 hours before the deadline. 2 days, 3 days. So they asked him, do you think that Iraq will pull out, or do you think they will engage American war? He says, no. He says, there will be no war. Logically speaking, there's no grounds for war, because Sudan knows that the Americans can flatten him. So why should he risk what it cost him billions of dollars and cost him for 15 years he's been building up? Why should he risk losing it in a matter of a couple of months? He says he'll pull out. 24 hours later, there was war. There was one question they asked him. Then they asked him a second question. Do you believe that he will live up to a threat to shoot Scud missiles to Israel, on Israel? So he says, no. He says, there's no logical grounds to say that he will shoot Scud missiles at Israel. Why? Because he will only enrage the Israelis, and he will draw them into the war, and he has nothing to gain from it. So now, besides having all of the Americans against him, Palestine will have the Israelis also. So therefore, he won't shoot Scud missiles. Yeah, never happened. 3 days later it happened. But this is, all world events are like that. All world events. It's very interesting if you can compare. See, this they never tell you. They only tell you their forecast. They never tell you where they went wrong. And if you can compare what they forecasted and what actually happened. Who forecasted that Hitler, Yimach Shemon, would become such a tyrant and such a power? And so on. And the same thing is in the economy. We forecast the economy all of the time. But they always tell you, well, this was unforeseen circumstances. Well, it's true. It shows we cannot forecast. So therefore, the states do not say that this person will never be wealthy. You might find one day he's wealthy. Or this person will never be poor. You might find that one day he's poor. Or do not say that the economy will never collapse. Economies have collapsed. Or do not say that it'll never boom. It'll boom. Because why? And this is the principle. because this world is a world of change. That we can forecast. We can forecast that there'll be a change. But how and when or what, this is very, very difficult. But to forecast there'll be no change, no. That's not this world. So therefore, he says, circumstances constantly change, and people constantly change because of the circumstances. So therefore, Hillel said, "Al tema dovishi iafshel lishomea." Do not say that this will never happen. This will never be heard. Shesef elish shoma, because one day you'll get up and you'll turn on the news and you'll hear it. All right. Then he says the fourth thing. And this again has to do what we said has to do with, because we're tachas zman, we're under the influence of time, and time is cycles, and time has to do with decrees. It's constantly moving and constantly turning. And like there's a medrash, says that they asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Amater Nisa. There was a noble woman, a Roman noble woman, asked one of the sages, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what does he busy himself with now? So he gave a few answers. One answer was, he makes ladders. She says, why does he make ladders? Ladders to climb up. He makes ladders because ze yorim ze yashpil, because this one he's raising up from the depths too high, and the other ones he's taking from the heights and throwing them down to the depths. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is busy with ladders, and this is what we find. Now this has to do with decrees and time. The world is constantly moving. That we can forecast, that the world is alive and is moving. So therefore, do not say that something will never happen. It can happen. Then, or you take to the moon. If you would have, in school in my time, if you would have told your teacher that one day men would be on the moon, there would have been an automatic failure in science. Now, she would tell you that you're reading too many science fiction comic books, then better study the science textbooks. Now, the fourth statement that Hillel says, "Likshe'efne eshte, al tema likshe'efne eshte." Do not say that when I have time and I'm free, then I, when I have time and I'm free from all of my toil, I'm free from all of my responsibilities, then eshte, then I will learn. Do not say that. Because you might never be free from your responsibilities. You might never be free from all of your toils. And what does this have to do? This is that we said that even besides the fact that we find ourselves within the cycles of time, and even besides the fact that we find external situations change and have influence on us, this has to do that life itself, man himself, is in constant flux. He's in constant movement. Even if he's in the same circumstances, because he's always busy, he's always doing things, he's always changing. Therefore, don't say that when you're free, you'll learn. How's it possible for a man to be free? If he's not busy with something, with this, he becomes busy with something else. So he'll never be free. Therefore, if you want to learn, what must you do? You can't wait until you're free. You have to make time. You want to go to a shir, you can't say that one day when I have time I'm going to go to that shir, because you'll never have the time. But you have to take the time. You have to take the time, allocate the time. This is why the Chazal tell us, mitzvah habo leyode al tachmatzenu. When a mitzvah comes your way, don't set it aside till you have time, because you don't know what, not only what the next day will bring, even what the next hour will bring. You'll set it aside, you'll say, I'll do it this afternoon, I'll have more time. comes this afternoon. How many times does it happen? All of the time, many times. Comes this afternoon, and all of a sudden, you get a telephone call, or this happened, or that happened. You're called away, and you can't do it. You'll learn later. Now you're busy. Comes later to do that mitzvah to learn, and all of a sudden, this person comes, or there's that telephone call, and there was never the later. Therefore, the Chazal say, you want to be successful in Torah and mitzvahs, learn first, and the other thing do later. See? Do the mitzvah first, and the other thing do later. Mitzvah bol yode al tachmatzena. Don't set the mitzvah aside. Set other things aside. Or zrizi magdim labayka. Zrizi magdim la mitzvahs. The zrizin, they do mitzvahs immediately. As we see from Avraham, whenever Avraham was told to do something by Kodesh Baruch Hu, he said everything, he did everything else later. That he did first. Because he knew this. So these are the four perspectives as to why man is under constant change and instability. And because of these four perspectives, this is what Hillel has taught. Now we can ask a question. If that's the case, so then man lacks total stability. Anything can happen at any time. How can he have confidence? One of our great problems today, both at an individual level and at a communal level, at a national level, is instability. Nations are unstable. People are unstable. And anything can happen anytime. So this undermines a person's confidence, and he becomes insecure. So must we go through the world in total insecurity, expecting that anything can happen? All right, the answer to this is that what Hillel is telling us, this all has to do mitzad hageshem, from the perspective that man is physical. And this is true from that perspective. But there's another perspective to man, and that is he's spiritual. He was given a non-physical power also. When he was created ofer min adoma. He was created from the earth, which is physical. But vayipach ba'apom Nishmas Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils a living soul that is non-physical. Everything that has to do with the physical world is under constant change and flux. But that what has to do with the spiritual world, that is constant. That is consistent. That does not change. When we experience change, that's the physical influences that causes this. This is why, for example, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani Hashem Leishonisi. I am the Almighty, I have not changed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't changed. Or, for example, it says, Tzidkose Emeres La'ad. His righteousness lasts forever. We're just saying here that by these people, their righteousness didn't last. Al Tamin Biatzmecho. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Tzidkose Emeres La'ad. That his righteousness lasts forever. He's not under any influences of change. Or, how many times does it state in the Torah, Ani Hashem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am the Lord. And the question is asked, why does it say? Ne'amon l'shalom. If I tell you to do something, and I say that if you'll do it, you'll get a reward, Ani Hashem, don't worry about getting it. By people you have to worry, because today they want to give it to you and tomorrow they change their mind. How many times did people say, promise something, and the next day they said, I've changed my mind? So it shows an instability, not by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani Hashem ne'amon l'shalom. What I say, I do, and there is no change. This we find by the Torah. The Mishpatei Hashem, the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah, are emeres la'ad. They are not subject to change. They are subject to different application because external circumstances change. But the principles of the Torah remain the same forever. They don't change. Why? Because they're built Tigashmi. They are a non-physical. And this is what the Chazal always mean. Shlomo HaMelech would say, they would call Tachas HaShemesh, beneath the sun. Beneath the sun, there is constant change. That means the sun represents the physical world, because the sun is the Melech, the king of the physical world. But Lemala Min HaShemesh, or Kodem HaShemesh, beyond the sun, or before the sun was created, there's no change. There, everything is constant and consistent. Now, even though this is something which is not obvious, but a Chazal teach us that a tzibur, the tzibur of Yisrael, that means the community of Yisrael, is also bilti gashmi. It is not physical. It is non-physical. Non-physical. What is meant by that? This means the concept of Klal Yisrael. Individuals, there are two aspects of Yisrael. There is the Yochid, the individual, and the Tzibur, the nation. These are two separate aspects. We could say they're one aspect, because what is a nation? A nation is made up of many individuals, so there's no difference between the two. There's only the difference in the volume and the quantity, but basically it's the same. An individual is one, and the nation is a million individuals. No, this is not true. This is not true with Israel. An individual, a yochid, he's one, and he's physical, and he lives and he dies and he changes. Then there is the concept of Yisrael. Refer to Yisrael. Who's Yisrael? Yisrael is the tzibur of Yisrael. That's a non-physical concept. That's the nation of Yisrael. Not because they're made up of many individuals, but that's the nation of Yisrael. It's a non-physical concept. And the Chazal tell us, Ein HaTzibur Meish. The nation of Israel doesn't die. Won't die. Individuals in Israel will die. But the nation will never die. Now, this is the proof that it's not physical. Because there can be nothing that's physical that lives forever. So it's a different concept. And this is the concept which is known as Tzibur. And when we speak of the Tzibur, so we're speaking of all of Israel, or we're also speaking, it's brought that if you have a community, if you have a minion, that's an offshoot of that Tzibur. We find many, many dini, many halachos that become different when they're applied to the Tzibur or they're applied to the Yochid, to the individual or to the community. For example, when you have 10, it says there you have a total Shechino. Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence is there. Or for example, when you are mispalel, it says La'elam, a person should always be mistadl to be mispalel imat tzibur. He should always try to daven together with the tzibur. She'ein tefilas ha'tzibur nimeses, because the tefillah of the tzibur is not rejected. The prayer of an individual depends. Sometimes it's accepted, sometimes it's rejected. The prayer of a tzibur, that's part of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, that's not just made up of a lot of individuals. It's a different concept. That's a non-physical concept. That it's not rejected. And when we say Ein HaTzibur Meis, that it doesn't die, this means it's always alive. This means it's always alive from beginning to end. That's all one unit. No matter where Yisrael is. If Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael or if Yisrael is in Golus, there's the concept of the individual, then there's the concept of Yisrael, the Tzibur of Yisrael. Therefore, and for this reason also, The Gemara brings in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin. It states, on those people, that if they don't do tshuva, then they won't have a chelek in the Olam Abba, in the world to come. So this Aminin, Vapekursin, those are non-believers, those that deny the existence of Hashem, or they deny His Torah. Then it also together lists Haporshin Midarkei Tzibur, those who divorce themselves from the way of the Tzibur. If they will not do tshuva, they also then will not have a chelek, a portion in the world to come. If they divorce themselves from the ways of the Tzibur, of the community of Jews. Now, what does one have to do with the other? What do they have to do with the apokusim and the minim, the non-believers? Because a person who doesn't believe in Torah, this means he's a physical entity. Because Torah is the non-physical force that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the world. If he's totally a physical entity, so how can he have a chelek in Olam Haba? How can he have a portion in a world to come, which is a non-physical world? Our identification to the world to come is Torah and mitzvahs. Torah mevi alidei Olam Haba. The Torah brings you to this world and the next world, because it's non-physical, can bring us to a non-physical world. But someone who denies Torah, all right, then he's totally physical. And the same thing now, someone who divorces himself from the Tzibur, someone who divorces himself from other Jews, from Jews as a whole, doesn't want to identify with Jews as a whole, then he's divorcing himself from a spiritual entity. And he himself is physical. Therefore, he won't have a portion in the world to come. Actually, I'd like to make mention here at this point what I heard many times from Rosh Yeshivas of the last generation after the Holocaust, which was the unbelievable destruction of European Jewry, and included in that was the unbelievable destruction of Torah and Yeshivas, because European Jewry at that time boasted the heart of Torah and Yeshivas in the world, and this was destroyed. So there was a great Yiyush in the world, there was a great despair. And even though American Jewry started to thrive again, well, American Jewry was thriving, because, I mean, there were many Jews in America before the Holocaust. But there was a great despair, and many felt that Torah will never see again another renaissance. That will never be. Those days are over. This is how people felt. Where, when? In America, say. Even Eretz Yisrael was a very, very small community at that time, in Eretz Yisrael. And this was the attitude. The attitude was is that Torah and yeshivas and Yiddishkeit, that'll be Jews, but Yiddishkeit, the way it was, that's finished and be forgotten. Every generation was becoming weaker and so forth. And the Rosh Yeshivas used to say, and actually the Baron Kotler, see, it was these Rosh Yeshivas who were at the forefront. They were the survivors to try to bring about this renaissance again. So they would say, don't worry. Don't worry. Yeah, we have to worry. We have to be concerned. We have to build. But don't think that Torah will be forgotten. Because Torah is forever and Klal Yisrael is forever. And this is promised to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they would always quote what is brought in Vayelech. At the end of Vayelech, so it states, this is in Lamer Aleph, Chof Aleph. There'll be a time when you'll be confronted with enormous problems and enormous troubles. And then you should sing this song. This is referring, this is in Parshas Vayelech, it's referring to Azinu or the Torah. You should sing this song as a testimony. For it will never be forgotten from your children. And Rashi brings there, Arezu haftocha l'Yisrael she'entere mishtakachas mizaram legamri. This is a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah will never be totally forgotten from Klal Yisrael. No matter what source they go through, Torah will always live on. And when they used to say this, people were maimin veina maimin. They believed it because this is what it says. But it was not something that they could believe with their actual emotions. It was not something you could see. With their actual feelings, it was almost an axiom that the great yeshivas and the great Torah that was finished with Europe, and it'll never be rebuilt. See. But nevertheless, we see it's rebuilding itself. Why is that? That's what Achaz. And there couldn't have been a greater churban, okay, that we know of to Klal Yisrael. Why is that? Because ein atzibur meis, individuals die. Individuals are born and individuals die. Israel doesn't die. There's no such thing as death to Israel. And there's no such thing as death to the Torah of Israel. That there's no change. And this we see, we have seen this in our own lives. Now we can understand why Hillel is incorporated here in the right next. First of all, he starts himself by saying, Al tifresh min atzibur, do not separate yourself from the tzibur. And he is following Rav Gamliel's words, who said, Chala eski min atzibur yeeski miman l'shem shemayim. And what is the explanation? Rav Gamliel says that whenever you work for the tzibur, if you work for your own gain, if you work for your own honor, if you work for your own profit or your own satisfactions, then you're a yochid, you're an individual. And individuals live, they're born, and they die. And finished. But if you work for the tzibur, for their sake, and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake, he says, then it's a different thing altogether. Because then you're attaching yourself to a body that not only has, it's a non-physical body. And being a non-physical body, not only there is no death to it, there is no interruption to it. People have a date of birth and they have a date of death. Israel, their birth was with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The beginning of time. And their death is never. So then you're attaching yourself to a community that never has an interruption in it. And then you'll have the schus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov will come and help you. Sheschus avos aveisem esayosom. And sitkosa emenes lo'ad. You don't have to worry about their righteousness. Their righteousness, they also, by the Ovis is Lameis. It says Yaakov Avinu Lameis. Yaakov was too spiritual to die in the way we see death. And Sitkos Emenes La'ad. And by them their righteousness stands forever. And that will help you. And then you will be successful. And then really it's not you that's doing it. It's they that are doing it. But still HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you schar. He'll give you reward as if you did it. That's what Reb Gamliel said. So now Hillel is coming along and he's saying that man, from the physical perspective, is a totally unstable being. Like we mentioned. Because from four great angles, he's constantly going through change. So what's the answer then? How can you go through life being totally unstable? How can you go through life constantly not knowing what's going to happen the next moment or what's going to be with you? You shouldn't believe in yourself and so forth. See, so the answer is that you have to attach yourself to that which is non-physical. Because at a non-physical level, there is consistency. There does not change. So therefore he started by saying, Hillel Eimer al tifresh min atzibur. That's the first. Identify yourself with Jewish people, with Israel. If you identify yourself with Israel and you consider yourself only a part of Israel, a cog in a big wheel, then you're in good company. Because Israel lives forever, and by Israel there's no change. It's only when you consider yourself as an own individual, now there's a date of birth, a date of death, there's constant flux, there's constant change. When you consider yourself part of Israel, then you identify yourself with the history of Israel. You consider yourself a part of yourself, you identify yourself with the history of yourself. It's a big difference. This is why he starts as that. And then also now we can understand why he's incorporated right in the statement of Reb Gamliel that said, Hu ya eimer asei retzeinei kitzeinecho. Asei retzeinei kitzeinecho. What is he saying? Attach yourself to the will of Hashem. Because by the will of Hashem there's no change. Your own will is subject to change 100 times every day. There are many people, they say they can't make up their minds. Or today they feel like this and tomorrow they feel like that. Yesterday felt a different way. Or you talk to people and they give you one answer one day, you talk to them another day and they give you another answer. Well, they've changed. You say people are, look, he has his change of minds, he's under stress, he's got to run, he's busy, he's got to go overseas, he just came back from overseas, he's leaving town next week, he's temperamental. This is the mensch, this is the person. See? So how do you do business with him? Businessmen will tell you it's very difficult. But if you attach your own rotzon to the rotzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, say, Asei retzeinai kitzeinecho, make his will your will. What should be your wants? This is referring when you go do something. When you want to do something, what should you want to do? You have to want to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do. That's how you must gear yourself. Many times you tell someone, this is what you should do. He says, I don't want to do this. Now, he has to teach himself to want to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do. Where not only he's doing something because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it, but because he has trained himself to want to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do. Asir etzeina kitzeinecho, make his will your will, make his desire your desires. You've trained yourself to desire what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to desire. He desires to do good, you've trained yourself to do good. He desires to give tzedakah, you've trained yourself to give tzedakah. He desires to learn Torah, you've trained yourself to learn Torah. The Maral says from here we see that a person can bind his will with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, where they become one. So, and then, Kidei shiyase retzeinecho kitzeinoi, make his will your will in order that your will will become his will, become synonymous. Now if you do that, not only are you making it one, but now you have consistency. See, what was the problem before? Because today I want this, and tomorrow I want something else. Today I feel this way, tomorrow I feel a different way. When I'm in this situation, I feel this way. When I'm in a different situation, I feel another way. But if your feelings become part and parcel with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feelings, no, his don't change. His do not change. So then there's consistency. Batel Ritzein Chom, Mipnei Ritzeinai. Now this is referring, the first phase was referring when you went to do something. Now this is referring to stopping yourself from doing something. Batel Ritzein Chom, Mipnei Ritzeinai. Annul your own desires before his desires. That means you feel like eating something, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you shouldn't eat it. So train yourself. Not only you don't eat it, but where your will becomes synonymous with his, to the point where now I don't want to eat it. As batel ritzein chom mipnei ritzeinai. And then, k'deishi vatel ritzein acherim mipnei ritzeinecho. And then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will annul the will of others before your will. If someone has a will to do something against you, your will, he will annul that will. Why? Because your will has become HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. So therefore, he will annul the wills of others. So from here, we see that a person can intertwine his own needs and his own desires and his own wants with that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu till they become one. And then, firstly, he will have total consistency. He will not be so volatile. Secondly, he will elevate himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. This also perhaps can be what the Chazal tell us. The Chazal say, Tzadik Gezer v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Magai. Says the righteous decree and the Almighty listens. What does it mean, the righteous decree and the Almighty listens? This is good. The Almighty, the righteous have bound their will together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. They made his desires their desires, his wants their wants. What he doesn't want, they do not want. So therefore, if they decree something, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to it? Because this is what he wants, this is his will. Because their will is the same as his will. It comes out, their decree is the same as his decree. So now we have a very good explanation in what Hillel is telling us. He's saying that man has to be very careful, because being that he's physical, that's subject to constant change and flux, being that his circumstances and external situations change, that causes more flux, being that time zones constantly have effects on him that causes even more instability and change, and being that he's always doing something, he's always busy, there's never a vacuum by man, so this even causes a greater state of flux. So therefore, in order to control this, so he gave these four teachings: that do not trust in yourself until the day of your death. Do not judge your fellow man until you reach his circumstances. Do not say something will never happen, such and such a thing will never happen, because it can happen. World constantly goes through cycles. And do not say that when I am free and I have time, then I'm going to learn, or then I'm going to do this mitzvah, because you'll never have time. Could be you'll never have time, you'll never be free. Therefore he taught these four teachings. And then he told us that Al tifresh mina tzibur. Attach yourself to the tzibur, to Israel as a whole, where a person looks at himself only as part of the great Klal Yisrael, and attach yourself to the will of the Almighty in every way possible, and then you'll gain stability, consistency. Because this, that we say that man is subject to constant change all of the time, this is from his physical perspective. But from his spiritual perspective, there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Leishon Nisi, he never changes. His Torah never changes. This is why when a person, if he is attached to Torah, then he can have great stability. We see this in the world. We see the world changes. Not only do they change, not only does the economy change, not only does the politics change, not only does government change, but you see something even far greater, a tragedy, and that's morals change. And that we're seeing. Morals change. What was good yesterday becomes bad today. What was bad yesterday becomes good today. What was acceptable yesterday is rejected today. And this we see. From one extreme to the other. Why? Because the world doesn't understand it. Because if it's left up to man, so today it's good, and today it's right, and tomorrow it's wrong. It's left up to the court of the day. Today it's right, tomorrow it's wrong. If you attach yourself to Torah, and to his rotzen, his will, now, what was right thousands of years ago is still right, and what was wrong thousands of years ago is still wrong. There, the stability. This is what Hillel is teaching us, and this is very important today, because we live in a world which lacks stability at every level, at the world level all the way down to the individual and family level. And this is the reason why. And this is in the parsha where it states, "Kulam anoshim roshi b'nei Yisrael heimo," that at that time they were men of stature. They were righteous people, but still they had fallen. They went to along their own desires, with their own perspectives, and they were toppled from the highest levels to the lowest levels. So therefore, this is what we can learn when it comes to Al Tamin Bi'atzmecho, that a person must be careful, he must guard himself, he cannot relax in this world, because this world is a world of constant change.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.